The numbers told the story, they always do.
It's one of those idiots who believe in analytics.
This is a numbers game with Gil Alexander on VSiN.
Hour number two of a numbers game at VSiN, the sports betting network, VSiN.com, Game Plus, iHeartRadio, YouTube TV, and of course, SiriusXM channel 158. Gil Alexander in San Francisco this week. Kelly Bidlin back at the mothership at Circa Resort Casino, the VSiN studios, high atop the world's largest sports book. Bet Bash a couple weeks away. Kelly, you looking forward to that? Are you going to be in town for Bet Bash this year for the first time?
I will be. You and Danny will not. I'll be holding down the fort. Yes.
It's
opposite year.
It's the first time. Yeah, it's the first time I will not be in town during Bet Bash. They're doing it a week earlier than normal, I think. I think that's why it got a little skewed. But I'll miss it, man. I'll miss seeing everybody over there. But your first Bet Bash, what a moment for you. What an experience it should be.
This would be like my third. I just missed multiple in a row. That's why it became a thing.
Oh.
I mean, I was here last year. I was here last year for it.
Oh, you were?
Mm-hmm.
Why did I think you were gone for that? Okay. All right. So you and I have discussed the NFC East earlier this week. We have discussed the NFC North. We did that yesterday in depth. Today, the NFC South. Oh, the glorious NFC South. For those who forgot, the NFC South last year was won by the Carolina Panthers with an 8-9 record. The Bucs were also 8-9. The Falcons were also 8-9, and the Saints brought up the rear at 6-11. Pardon me. I forgot there were 17.
That doesn't sound very good, Gil. One and two, who won the division?
Yeah. Panthers win it. And by the way, the Panthers who we should say this year, the teams are lined at 8.5 for the Bucs, 7.5 for the Saints, 7.5 for the Panthers, and 6.5 for the Falcons. The Panthers actually comported themselves well in that playoff game versus the Rams. They put up 31 points and really gave the Rams a bit of, I don't want to say a bit of a scare, but kind of, mm-hmm. Right?
Yeah.
So they played well. Let's start with, who do you want to start with? You want to start at the top with the Bucs?
Yeah, let's go to the top. Let's start with Bucs. We'll work our way down.
All right. Buccaneers. And this is going to be, so again, I'm reading Aaron Schatz's FTN Almanac, and these are all extensive sort of deep dives on all these teams. The theme for this division, though, is so very clear, which is all of this. And I know you can say this for a lot of NFL teams, but particularly in this division, what the hell do we know about any of them unless you can wrap your arms around the quarterback? And with the Bucs, you think maybe this is the most secure of all of it because it's Baker Mayfield. Mm-hmm. But I don't know if that's the case. Last year, Baker Mayfield, 2025, it was his worst season as a Tampa Bay Buccaneer. Now, if you're a Baker Mayfield guy, you immediately say, well, he was dinged up the entire time, right? He was playing through so many injuries.
And all his weapons were injured, right?
Yeah, and all his weapons
missed half the season. Godwin missed half the season. Bucky Irving, it was a lot of that.
A lot of that, but he himself, he had an oblique injury, shoulder injury, ankle injury, knee injury. I mean, most people don't play through that. Baker doesn't miss a game, mm-hmm. right? Baker just powers through. But the bigger sort of question mark is, so, all right, when it was Dave Canales, now the Panthers head coach, but when Dave Canales was the OC, Baker was really good. When Liam Cohen, now the Jags head coach, when Liam Cohen was the Bucs OC, Baker, really good. Last year it was, I don't know how you pronounce his last name, if it's Grizzard or Grizzard, but Josh Grizzard, yeah, not so good for the Bucs. Again, was it the injuries to both Baker and his weapons, or was it the fact that his OC wasn't very good? So they scuttle Grizzard, and now they bring in Zach Robinson. So Zach Robinson, you're like, okay, is this a good hire?
Yeah.
Is this going to be a good match with Baker? Because Zach Robinson with the Falcons, not the greatest amount of, you know, the resume. He definitely can incorporate running backs well into the passing game. The Falcons' rushing game was great, but they had Bijan. So folks, what side do you come down on that mainly? Because where does the injury start, the injuries end? Are you willing to go with that as an excuse? Or are you willing to say, oh, no, Baker is actually offensive coordinator sensitive? So I don't know. That's the biggest single question, because as was stated in the almanac, it's the best sentence. Zach Robinson made Michael Penix Jr. look like an inaccurate Tua Tagovailoa.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. It's not the sexiest of a OC hire, I would say, because it is a name that we know, and unfortunately, you probably don't think very highly of. Gil, I'm interested to see how that part plays out. I think it's absolutely a major factor for them. I don't know how we're going to talk about Baker Mayfield at the end of his career, but like the fact that he had this resurgence in Tampa Bay, and like he's had 13 different offensive coordinators through his career. The guy deserves an award for something just for that. Making it this long in the NFL, playing under that many different playbooks, it's incredible.
Yeah. By the way, you should bet. You said Andy Molitor, our buddy Andy Molitor mm-hmm. from the Deep Dive with Drew. He had, what was the stat?
That 21 new offensive coordinators this year. Now, not all call plays, because you got a lot of these head coaches that call plays, right. But still, 21 new offensive coordinators.
Cut to a shot of us, like, week two and week three, guessing lines, being like, man, is this play sloppy.
Right.
This is like the preseason still. But last couple things on the Bucs. So, like I talked about with Green Bay yesterday, Green Bay, if there wasn't a seventh playoff spot, right, they won't be in the playoffs the last 3 years. But they got the seventh position all 3 years. So we think of the Packers in a way that we otherwise wouldn't. With the Buccaneers, it's three consecutive division titles under Bowles prior to last season, where they tied with the Panthers but lost on a tiebreaker, two of them with Mayfield. But they've only won one playoff game in that time. And if you took the three Baker seasons as a whole, just in terms of win percentage, you're only three games above 500 and you're playing the crappy NFC South. Mm-hmm. So again, it's how do you really view this team based on results? Defense, here's the one thing I will say. Defense, Todd Bowles, say what you will. He's super aggressive with his defense. They were ranked second, third, first, and third in blitz rate the last 4 years, but they don't have the pressure results to match the aggressiveness. They're 10th, 19th, 17th, and 18th in adjusted sack rate, but that's why you bring in Reuben Bain Jr. That's why you bring in Al-Qadeen Muhammad, who had 11 sacks last year with Detroit, and that's why you bring in Alex Anzalone from Detroit. So looking good on the defense, at least on paper.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I got nothing to add there. I had notes down on the pressure numbers not being very great, but you make all those adds, we'll see. The defense should be a little better. But, yeah, I think this is one of those divisions. I don't know how you see it, Gil. I don't think I'm going to have a bet of any kind on the Bucs, but it just feels like the Bucs are probably year over year just dropping back to the pack a little. I mean, I think losing Mike Evans is huge, no matter what his age is. Like, that is a go-to wide receiver when everything breaks down for Baker Mayfield just to throw the ball up to sometimes. I think I see them trickling back to the pack and getting a little bit worse here over the past couple seasons. And I think you can make an argument for each one of these other teams getting a little bit better at least.
Well, let's go to Carolina because they won the division last year. Carolina, it couldn't have gone any better, really, for Carolina last year, if you think about it. Got a good season from their first-round pick, Teteroa McMillan. He was impressive.
He's awesome.
A division title. A competitive loss, as we said, in the wild card round game to the Rams. And Bryce Young played well in that game. But you said it more than anybody, Kelly. What is the biggest issue with this team and Bryce Young?
I got no idea how good this guy is. I'm not trying to trash him. I do have a bet under the win total, and I'll get to that. But I'm not even trying to trash him when I say that, Kelly. We're into year 4 or 5 with him. I still don't know if he's good or bad. I don't know if he's good or bad. The one thing I know is he's tiny, and tiny usually doesn't work out very well in the NFL long term.
And it's a problem because we talk about this more with NBA teams, right? When they're stuck in purgatory, right in the middle, like 40 and 42, you're not bad enough to get a good pick. You're not good enough to win a title. The worst case scenario for the Panthers this year is if Young is once again good enough, right, to lead them to something like a 7-win or 8-win season, but nowhere near good enough to make him a threat for anything, because you just have to make a decision about this dude. You have to at this point, because otherwise you don't know where to go with your franchise. By DVOA, Panthers were the 10th worst team to ever make the playoffs last year.
Wow.
They brought in Jalen Phillips on defense. You know, Jalen Phillips, 12th defensive player ever to get a $30 million average annual contract. But they might have overpaid on that because the stats don't necessarily bear that out. By the way, the only teams that improved in DVOA the only teams in that category of teams that of the 10 worst teams to ever make the playoffs with bad DVOA that still made the playoffs. The only ones of those 10s that improved the next year were teams that had Andrew Luck at quarterback and Matthew Stafford at quarterback and Peyton Manning at quarterback. Bryce Young ain't that.
He is. I know he's not that, Gil. I might not know how good or bad he is. I know he doesn't belong in that group.
Yeah. He did make, let's say, a couple positive things about him, though.
Sure.
He made a key improvement in sack avoidance last year. He dropped his adjusted sack rate from 7.5% to 6.1%, especially good at avoiding sacks late in the season. By the way, the wild card round, he only got sacked 2 times by the Rams, and they pressured him 17 times. So, like, his positive is that he doesn't commit turnovers, he doesn't get sacked, but part and parcel with that, and this is still part of the Kelly Bidlin, Bryce Young conundrum, is, yeah, because that's because he doesn't take any risks.
Yeah.
He's not a threat to go downfield, so of course he's good at this one thing. So I don't know.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think it's really interesting, the more and more I've just dove into this team over the past several months, but there's a lot of positive stats you could take away from Bryce Young's season last year. But then at the end of the day, the offense still scored 30 fewer points than they did a year earlier. So like, it's one of those too. You're like, okay, like, cool. He did great. And he was efficient. This is still a problem. Ted McMillan's awesome. I think one of the things that's gone under the radar, and Danny brought this up, one of these to us yesterday. I mean, as of right now, he's starting the season without both of his starting offensive tackles. Major issue, I think, for Bryce Young. I'm under 7.5. They've got the third toughest schedule by win total. I am an under guy on the Panthers this year.
Yeah, they were 23rd in ESPN's pass block win percentage last year and 28th in run block win rate. That ain't good. Devin Lloyd, nice pickup on defense. But yeah, we don't know what we have in Bryce Young yet. More on the NFC South on the other side. It's a numbers game at Visa, the sports betting network. You're here because you want an edge. That's what separates listeners from winners. But let's be real, mindset alone doesn't get bets home. Pros win because they've got the tools, the data, and the discipline. And now so can you. Visa Pro gives you access to the same real-time insights the sharps use. No secrets, no fluff, just actionable info that moves markets. Tap the link and see why serious bettors are turning knowledge into profit with Visa Pro.
Numbers game on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Whether you are betting futures, win totals, division races, MVP, rookie of the year, or Super Bowl odds, our guide helps you get ahead of the market before training camps begins. Talk about the VSiN NFL betting guide, which is out now. Inside, you'll find breakdowns of all 32 teams, projected win totals, best bets from VSiN experts, futures analysis, power ratings, and more. Get it today with our football special for just $175. The sooner you sign up, the more value you get, with full access to everything we do across every sport through the Super Bowl. That includes daily best bets, real-time betting splits from DraftKings and Circa, AI-powered prop projections, and 24/7 video on the VSiN Watch app. Head to VSiN.com/subscribe now. That's VSIN.com/subscribe. Kelly, the tennis is 2-2. And not looking good on the fifth. We're down a set, down a break, so we may end up taking a 0.87 unit loss today if this one holds. There you
How
go.
Dare you? That's almost a whole unit.
0.87 is almost a whole unit. You're right.
Let's see. My golf is not doing much better. Where's Mr. Max Homa at? Still over par? Yeah, we're still 1 over par with Homa. Scotty Scheffler starting to make a move, though, Gil. 3 under through 10, a couple birdies for him in the last couple holes, 18 and 1, as he makes the turn to the front nine.
That dude needs a win, Kelly.
He really does.
A win.
Emiliano Grillo, your leader right now at 5 under par through 8.
John Balducci on Twitter, humble brag, driving to Baltimore for my daughter's All-America lacrosse game. Oh, wow, congratulations. Stopped at a drive-through coffee place called 7 Brew. It is the greatest cold brew I've ever had in my life. Do you have them in Vegas? Do we have them in Vegas? Cold brew coffee places?
I don't think so. I don't know. I don't believe I've ever heard of 7 Brew.
Tronsky. Hey, Gil, not to get you in trouble, Gil, but Zach does have a couple plays left today at the challenger level in Bloomfield Hills. Those may not count to you, but all bets cash the same, right, Kelly? Just jiving. Love the show. Have a great day. Oh, Zach told me he didn't. So that's on Zach, not on me. He apparently didn't want to talk about it. Let's see. Lawrence Carter, you know how I read a couple promos or three promos on air the other day and I asked you to grade them?
Yeah.
Well, Lawrence Carter is grading one of yours, Kelly.
Okay.
He says, Kelly is featured in an infomercial specific to NFL teasers and advised not to bet anything longer than minus 125. Based on last NFL season, I couldn't find any shop in Nevada better than minus 130, he says. What say you?
Caesars had 125 last season.
There you go. You tell them.
Yeah.
See? Point, counterpoint. All right. Back to the NFC.
Trying to think if there was another shop that I was betting them at. No, it's Caesars. Caesars William Hill is still 125, right, as far as I know.
Yeah. Okay. The New Orleans Saints. Oh, the NFC South. It is such a, I don't know. It's like you have all these choices where you can make bets, first of all, from sport to sport, right, to begin with. But then within one sport, I'm not sure I really resonate with the person who gravitates towards the NFC South bets. I really don't. Tyler Shuck, yet another quarterback where you're like, what do we got here?
Mm-hmm.
Shuck went 4-1 over the Saints' final five games, 5-4 in his nine starts. Remember, the Saints started 2-10 last year before Shuck turned it around. But again, small sample size. Also, he's 25 years old already, right? So the issue with a guy who small sample size and he's older at a young point of his development is the floor might be okay because you're like, oh, well, at least he's more veteran. He's had more reps in college. But the ceiling becomes lower too, right? You're like, well, you're not going to have a Drake May breakout, right? Mm-hmm. That's less likely to happen. So last year, the good 75.6% adjusted accuracy rate from Shuck, 12th among 35 quarterbacks with at least 200 attempts. He was also 12th in that group with a 2.45% turnover worthy play rate, which is relatively low. However, Kelly, there's always a however. Shuck completed only 25.6% of his throws traveling at least 20 yards, 34th out of 36 QBs. He took a sack on 8.2% of his dropbacks, 28th of 36 qualifying quarterbacks, despite the fact that he faced the fifth lowest pressure rate. Fifth lowest pressure rate. That's not good. Didn't lean heavily on play action. They may have to increase that. It was 30. They only went drop back. Shuck used it only play action, that is, on 17.1% of his dropbacks. That was 30th in the NFL. So maybe it was because their run game was so sucky last year. They didn't feel that even that would throw off defenses. But they do have Travis Etienne now. Alvin Kamara is on the other side of things, let's put it, right? The age curve has finally, I think, gotten to Kamara. He had his worst year last year. So I don't know. The issue, again, we talked about this a little bit with the Vikings, where it's like, okay, those people who are bullish on the Vikings, they're sort of counting on Brian Flores being able to keep that defense elite. I don't know if you can count on that to be a top five defense year to year. With the Saints, you're kind of counting on that defense to be a little better than average. Mm-hmm. They were 13th in defensive DVOA last year, but they lost DeMario Davis. They lost Alante Taylor. So I don't know. Like a lot of that, it's questions with quarterback. It's questions with if they can adjust for Shuck a little more to sort of keep his deficiencies a little less glaring. I don't know, man. It's just one of these teams, like so many here in this division, where I just don't have an opinion. I will say that the FTN guys are not very high on this team at all.
Yeah, okay. Oh, interesting. Okay, so I feel like they've been one of the buzziest teams of the offseason.
Me too.
And you know what, Gil? I wasn't on board with it at first. I think more digging in more and more, especially to the schedule stuff, and I'll get to that in a sec, I'm getting it a little bit more now. It's not gonna lead me to a bet here before the season starts. But I think there is possibly an opportunity here in season. Just to finish up, I do think this is, I mean, they've got some good skill players. Kamara, he only got in 11 games last year. We'll see. Maybe you're right. Maybe we're getting too old there. But we got to make the call now, Gil. Are we going ETN or Achan? We going ETN or Achan?
I guess we're going Achan.
Okay, we're going Achan, and then we'll once they start games, we'll just revert back to whatever the play-by-play guys are calling him. But you add Achan in the backfield. You've added blocking help up front. You add guard David Edwards, tight end Noah Fant. A lot of great notes on this in the VSiN betting guide, by the way. Bring in Jordan Tyson. You draft him You've got Chris Olave over there. Juwan Johnson was awesome at tight end last year. I think there's a lot of good, but it all depends on Tyler Shuck, like you're talking about, and I don't really know for sure on him. But the schedule. Okay, these were great notes in the VSiN NFL betting guide. Saints are one of six teams that don't play a Thursday game, and they have a bye after the Paris game, so there's no short weeks for this team all season long. This is, and then because you ended up finishing last, right? You get the NFC South, and then also on this schedule, it is Raiders, Giants, Cardinals. There's a lot of bad teams on this schedule. So if you're betting over on the win total, I get it. I think I would lean that way. I'm not confident they're going to go out there and dominate this division, or if they're a realistic playoff team.
Yeah. Okay. Those are great notes, though, right? Like you look for any positive sort of spin. That schedule is a big factor that you just brought up.
Second easiest overall, right? I think it's second easiest based off win totals.
And I agree with you. They've got a lot of buzz. So, too, I think in some respects do the Atlanta Falcons, who are lined at 6.5. But anecdotally, I hear some teams that are pretty high on them, right? In a division that is this murky, why not take a long shot flyer on the Falcons?
Yeah.
If you remember last year, though, the Falcons, they beat the Rams on December 29th. They beat the Bucks. They beat the Bills. They lost the Patriots by 1 point. Like, there was a lot of good, except for the fact that they were shut out by the Panthers. They lost to the Jets, and they lost to the Dolphins. That's not so good. They are projected by FTN, Aaron Schatz, our buddy who was on earlier this week. Little tribute to Aaron all week long here. Bottom eight on offense, defense, and special teams. How about that? That was a little surprising to me. They are one of these teams that the sort of comparison they made is they got all these great players, right? Bijan, Drake London, Kyle Pitts on defense, Jesse Bates, AJ Terrell, new head coach in Stefanski, who's won coach of the year twice. It's like, it's their thing. They're never quite bad enough to start over. They're never quite good enough to matter. They live in the NFL's most annoying middle ground, which we talked about earlier when we were talking about the Buccaneers. But I don't know. Stefanski is a run first guy. He was most of his time in Cleveland, so this fits well with Bijan. But you know, Penix, he's not going to start the season. He's got the ACL still. How good is he? We don't know. It'll be Tua in the meantime. Not that he hasn't had turnover issues in his career that plagued Penix as well. So we'll see. The defense last year was great, right? Pierce, Watts, James Pierce. We don't even know if James Pierce is playing at this point, right? Mm-hmm. So question marks on the defense. But the talent is there. Yeah. You just don't know if they can put it together, man.
No,
quarterback is the question mark.
Yeah, and that's the biggest key. We know that. I think I'm always like a little bit of a bigger believer in Tua than most. So we'll see. I love the weapons, though. You've got like a slightly above average offensive line, at least. Will made the bet already. If I had to make a bet to win the division, it would be the Atlanta Falcons just at this price.
The comparison they made, which I thought was interesting, the 2018 Giants had Saquon, Odell Beckham Jr., and Evan Ingram. They went 5-11.
Yeah.
The 2022 Raiders had Josh Jacobs, Devontae Adams, and Darren Waller. They went 6-11. This has that kind of feel to them. I'm not so sure. I might be more with you. Coming back on a numbers.
A numbers game on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Hey, keep in mind the sharp plays always available to you. Unmatched transparency with records updated daily. AI betting analysis, real-time global betting info, and alerts directly from the pros. You can scan the QR code on your screen for more. Sharpplays.com. Check it out. We get tweets beating the book. This is from, oh man, there's too many to get into right now. But Stringfellow Hawk, while we're grading promos, okay, I'm not going to read that. He's good. Now they're going after all kinds of promos.
I was going to say, I didn't even read the tweet, but I think we should shut this down right now. We never started grading promos. Okay, we never started that.
Here's one for you, Kelly, though. We could tell because it has to do with us. Bets, JB. Kelly, it's redundant to say revert back. Just say revert.
Okay.
Yeah, we got English teachers here.
Dude, I'm looking at a Jake Knapp shot right now. I don't even know what to say. This was a tee shot on a par 3 that looks like it is stuck between, it looks like it should be, if the pin wasn't there, it would be a hole in one because it is stuck between the pin and the edge of the hole, and I guess enough out that that's not going to count.
Oh.
Yeah, I don't
really?
Know. Really? Yeah, come back to me on that one. That is bizarre. That is a bizarre look right there.
Wow. By the way, JB adds, Gil, I took a shot at Alcaraz for the U.S. Open. If he's healthy, that's good plus money versus Sinner wilting in humidity. You might be right. This gentleman, we have not had him on the show. At least I haven't been here when he's been on the show. But I think maybe it's been a while period that he's been on our show. And here we go, just strutting old Nick Whalen on every week, for God's sakes. So we are completely apologetic. It's the co-host of Prop Points, which follows us each and every Monday through Friday here on the network. It's our old buddy Jeff Erickson joining us now, courtesy of the Progressive Guest Line. Jeff, good morning. Great seeing you.
Good morning. Happy to fly the Prop Points and RotoWire flag, whether it's me or it's Nick. So all good. How you guys doing?
Doing great.
We're doing very well. Yeah, by the way, I bury the headline. Co-host, by the way, of RotoWire Fantasy Sports Today on Sirius XM 87 and a co-founder of RotoWire. My goodness. Do you ever flaunt that, Jeff? Do you do that to yourself?
All the time. It's great.
Do you really?
Hey, I'm super proud of it. You know, it's my life's
you
work, literally. So, yeah, absolutely.
You absolutely should be. Let's start with baseball, which is your bread and butter. We'll get to some NFL coming up. But baseball... we have often talked about award markets, as I'm sure you and Nick have, but I'm curious because it looked like with the National League Cy Young that Jacob Mazurowski was sort of running away with it might be a little overstatement, but certainly he had the goods, right? He's number one in MLB in so many categories. There is a few little injury concerns now happening, so it's a little shakier than it might have felt like a couple weeks back. What are your thoughts on him? What are your thoughts on the market in general?
Yeah, I've been fascinated with this race all season long because it started off as Skeens as the clear number one, and that clearly has evolved. You go a 2-month stretch without winning a game, that's going to happen. But Mazurowski deserves to be the favorite, without a doubt. But, you know, and here comes the but. It's the way they treated him right before the break, way they shut him down after four innings in a start this week, the way they vacillated between whether he's going to start or not this weekend. Some strong 2024 Garrett Crochet vibes coming through here. You know, this is a guy that topped out 144 innings. How many innings do they really want him to throw this year? It's different from Crochet's case, obviously, for two different reasons. One, Crochet was a reliever, converting to starter that year. Two, the White Sox weren't just bad. They are historically bad. The Brewers are one of the two best teams in baseball, tied with the Dodgers, I think, with the best record in baseball. They think they keep on flipping spots. But point is, it's, you know, this is a really legitimate team. They need him down the stretch, but how important is it to get the first seed? Is it good enough to be the second seed in the National League? We saw last year having the best record in baseball didn't do much for them for the playoffs. They need him for the playoffs, and they need him long term. So is 175 innings it? If so, like, you know, that's there's not a whole lot left there to pitch. If it's 150, it's even less. 160, you know, so I think there's a way that he drops out of the race, and I think the minus money is kind of interesting. I think it opens the door for guys like Christopher Sanchez, Zach Wheeler, and Yoshi Yamamoto, who I think is really underpriced at 28-1 at a couple places. DraftKings and MGM still on at 28-1. I don't understand the case against Yamamoto. He's like the seventh most innings in baseball right now. Of the Cy Young contenders, only Sanchez has thrown more innings. He's done everything that's been asked of him, and he's gone dramatically up in price. I love the price here.
Yeah, I'm calling up the Tango Cy Young tracker as we speak. It takes a second to load. But as I remember, the drop off from Miz to the next person was Sanchez, and it was pretty significant. But Yamamoto, mm-hmm. I don't know if he was in that next group. But yes, this absolutely opens it up. I'll give you exactly what it is now. So in Tango points, and again, Tom Tango has accurately predicted 32 out of the last 38. 64.8 points for Miz. Again, the formula is very simple. Innings pitched divided by 2 minus earned runs plus strikeouts divided by 10 plus wins. You don't have to worry about that. But 64.8 on Miz, 53.4 on Sanchez. Then it's Sale, 50.8. Then it's Burns, 49.2. Then it's Wheeler, 47.7. Then it's Foster Griffin, for God's sakes, before you get to Yamamoto. So I don't know. Yeah, and I'm wondering, he's got the wins. He's got the innings pitched. Is it the Ks? No, it's the Ks. That's what
it is. It's the Ks and the fact that he's thrown 18 starts versus 21 for the other guys. I think that perception is just taking the ball fewer times because the Dodgers have gone six-man. But factor in that Otani's not going to pitch for a while. Maybe the Dodgers eventually go away from the six-man rotation for a little bit. You know, Yamamoto, his entire career has had those 5 days of rest. So it's probably not going to change too much. You know, the first time he threw on, I think on 4 days of rest was in the playoffs last year. So it is something that kind of works. I just, on merit, I have a hard time writing him off. I get the K's are a big part of that there. And, you know, maybe the electorate is different than it was 10 years ago. But, you know, all the traditional stats that most voters rely on, he's there. And yeah. So that's the reason why I'm kind of in. I think it's very interesting.
And there's so much more baseball to be played. Like, this that's is right. not even close to being settled. Let's go to the NFL. You and Nick sort of take a back seat during football season, and we'd let John Hansen do the show right after ours. But that doesn't mean you're not betting football the whole time. You have lots of opinion on football. We have you on the show all the time. You're all over the network talking about football. Let's start with a season win total that you like.
Yeah, let's go with the Denver Broncos. I get the argument against them that, hey, they won a lot of close and probable games. Cue up that Giants game last year as a case in point there. But I think they made the most targeted ad of the offseason. They made one move, and it was to trade for a wide receiver in Jalen Waddle, the type of receiver they didn't have in the past. I thought it was exactly what they needed. It was far better than what they could have gotten in the draft. I think there's too much gravity being projected for the Broncos. You know, keep in mind that, yes, they were a team that did won those close ones. I think, though, it's also a young team in terms of the key personnel, in terms of Bo Nix. I could see a step of improvement coming for Nix. Everything cancels, of course, if he can't move, if that ankle is still an enduring problem. That's one of the stories I'll be paying attention to in camp. But I think they're underpriced right now at 9.5 wins.
All right, let's do some season-long props. Everyone's excited about Joe Burrow, a healthy Joe Burrow for the Cincinnati Bengals, hopefully this year, at least at the start, healthy. And so most people consider playing props over on him, maybe the big receivers of Ja'Marr Chase and T. Higgins. You're actually playing the Bengals offense a different way.
Yeah, I'm taking a look at Chase Brown, who was fantastic in the second half of the season when they had Burrow back. And when they changed the run scheme a little bit there, first, Dalton Risner was their right, settled in at right guard. They ran more under center, which I think helps a lot. They ran more 12 personnel. They get a blocking tight end in Eric Allback, who is fantastic at moving people. He's going to see more snaps this year. I think people forget how good he was in his rookie year. Now, I understand, you know, he's had two major ACL injuries. So him staying on the field is a dubious proposition that he can make it through the whole season. But point is, people forget how bad the first half of the season was for Brown and the Bengals rushing offense. He still ended up with over 1,000 rushing yards. The prop is 824.5. I love this. And I know there's things that go wrong. We always talk about overs when it comes to running backs and the props, and we should talk more unders, but I'm going to give you a couple overs anyhow.
Well, in Jacksonville, this is pretty fascinating because no more Travis. We were just debating this. Is it Etienne? Is it ETN? Is it Achan? We'll go with Achan. That's what he says it is now. No more Travis Achan. So Bashal Tootin becomes the guy. Liam Cohen's already hyping him up, saying, oh, he's going to have a big season. But you went under on a prop of his.
Yeah, and this is the rushing yards again, 699.5. And it's because they brought in Chris Rodriguez, who is going to get a lot of those tough yards between the tackles and maybe even at the goal line. And LaQuint Allen also exists, and they like him too on third downs. I think fantasy managers hoping that Bashal Tootin is going to be the guy they're going to be severely disappointed. There's not going to be the guy, barring injuries to a couple of these players. They're going to split this workload, and it's going to be annoying for fantasy managers. It's going to be annoying to bettors. They're like, why doesn't Tootin have 15 carries? He's so good. I don't know if he can handle that big sort of workload anyhow with his size. And the fact is, they've got a guy in Rodriguez that can.
And real quick, Omarion Hampton back from injury in the Chargers. How are you playing him?
Absolutely. The fantasy market loves him. You see, there's a disconnect between the fantasy market and the betting market.
Yeah.
Fantasy market loves him. You got an improved offensive scheme with Mike McDaniel. You get your two healthy tackles back. They improve the interior offensive line. It's going to be a better running game for the Chargers. Hampton's a dude.
Jeff, great seeing you, man. Good. Thanks for coming on. Appreciate it.
Anytime. Always a pleasure, guys.
Jeff Erickson, going to be at the top of next hour, of course, hosting Prop Points with our buddy Nick Whalen right here at VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. We'll recap the bets, crack as well. It's a numbers game right here at VSiN.
Numbers Game on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Back on A Numbers Game, live from Circa Resort Casino in Kelly Bidlin's case. I am in San Francisco, Gil Alexander, for today and tomorrow. And the next time you'll see me after that, I'll be back in Vegas. Back in the studio, Kelly.
Only a fortnight and a half away.
That's right. Only a fortnight away. It's been a glorious summer.
I bet it has back there. I'm getting tired two of these days this week with this gorgeous view in the background. I got to look at you and talk to you. And I just see ocean and what's the island again? What's the land that nobody can go on?
Oh, that's Angel Island. Angel Island is uninhabited, but what you can't see quite as clearly behind Angel Island is Tiburon. And then if you out of view behind me is Sausalito. It's it's maybe the most gorgeous place in the country.
Yeah, it's beautiful, It really is beautiful.
With apologies to Colorado and Utah, which are also gorgeous.
But for different reasons. Different reasons.
Yeah.
So I'm going to continue our off-air conversation. So we ran into Crack and the crew yesterday after the show. We'll talk to him more about that. And then, you know, someone who doesn't tweet into the show very often, but you know, one of my favorite people to run into after the show, Kelly, the Sausage King of Omaha, was back signing up for contests. Yep. So got to introduce Danny Higgins to him. We got a great story time from him about an old Masters story. Love running into that guy. We were talking to him for what, 20 minutes? That was great.
He's a big Creighton fan, as I recall. Mm-hmm. Big fan of Creighton. Crack at the top of the hour. Bill Krakenberger, Unscripted, in studio. We get tweets of Beating the Book. Eagle Marine. Gil, I would get on board the Saints bandwagon. Shuck has much better weapons for the 26-27 season. In that dome, they're going to be tough to beat. Their international game will be in France, where they have exclusive marketing rights. New Orleans, French Connection. NFC South is weak. Hey, Eagle Marine, if that is your real name, I'm not that bearish on them. It's really the FDN Almanac guys. Aaron Schatz was on our show earlier this week. They are not happy with the Saints. They do not have a good outlook. So your beef is mainly with them, not with anything I have to offer on that team. Kenny G, morning Gil and Bill. Bill's not here yet, but he says, I'll be coming to town next week, have reservations at Barry's and the Italian American Club. My question is about tipping. Besides the servers, is there anyone else to take care of? Thanks, Gil. Enjoy your vacation. Oh, no. I feel a tipping conversation coming. Remember, Kelly, y'all, they want the captain tip now. I got to tip a captain? Who's the captain? I got to tip the captain?
Dude.
It's from Curb Your Enthusiasm. Yeah.
Really? Which one?
Oh, there's one where Larry David's like, I got to tip a captain now? What does a captain do?
Like of a plane or a boat?
A captain in the restaurant. There's your waiter, right? The server.
Oh, right. Yeah. I'm blanking on that episode. I can't believe that.
All right. We got a couple questions here for Crack, ready for the top of the hour. Tennis, 2-3 today. They can't all be winning days, boys and girls. But if you're going to have a losing day, make it a 2-3 where you lose 0.87 units. That's what happened today. One on Hanfman, one on Echeverry. Hanfman was a slight favorite. Echeverry was a slight dog, but lost all three of the bigger dogs today. The bigger dogs didn't work out. Panna Udvardi lost in straight sets to our nemesis, Paula Badosa, who at this point is just, you know, tormenting me. Alex Molcan did not really show anything against Alexander Bublik. Bublik decided he liked clay today. And my Huntama, who we won on as a big dog, was it yesterday or the day before, as a north of $2 dog, she could not get it done against Lily Tagger. So 2-3, minus 0.87 units. That was the day in tennis. Again, more from clay, straight clay, and hard courts for subscribers, VSiN.com/picks on the website, posted every morning by the great Bill 80, Kelly. That's his main job. I think he does other things, but I think his main job is posting the tennis picks. I think I have that correct.
He came by here on Monday to deliver you a personal apology. Just you were here.
that's okay.
And neither was I, actually.
We're talking about documentaries, for God's sake. Okay, Red Sox, most wins, month of July, 80-1. We talked about this at the beginning of the show, but not since. Here's where we stand on this once again. Red Sox have 8 games left in the month of July. They have a 3-win lead at 15-2 after their 15-game winning streak was broken in the second of the doubleheader yesterday. They're 15-2. They have a 3-win lead over the 12-7 Brewers and a 4-win lead over the Orioles and Tigers. By the way, the Brewers only have 7 games left as opposed to the Red Sox 8. The Orioles have 7 left. The Tigers have 8 left. If the Red Sox go 5-3, there is no need to look at the scoreboard. The Red Sox will cash our 80-1 for most wins in July. But that assumes that teams like the Brewers and Tigers go undefeated the rest of the way. That's why at a minimum, you have to go at a maximum, you have to go 5-3. But more likely, those teams aren't going to go undefeated, and you probably will get away with 4-4 and maybe even 3-5. I'm not rooting for any of those things. I hope the Red Sox continue to cruise and this one gets home, but it's not in yet. 3 games this weekend, idle today. 3 games at Fenway starting tomorrow against the Blue Jays. Then it's 4 at Sacramento. Then it is 1 final game against the Dodgers to round out the month. Looking to cash that 80-1. Let's go. Let's get it done.
Let's do it, man. That'd be awesome. Yeah. That would be awesome. It's going to be great. Mm-hmm. Shout out to the Berkster, the great Adam Burke, who not only did I reference some of his notes from the NFL guide earlier, but oh boy, check your text messages in the break, Gil, because we got one heck of a story for crack coming up next hour.
Oh.
Okay, wow. Bets for me. These were all made over the past couple days. Talked about all these yesterday on the show, actually. Bears over 415.5 points scored for the regular season. I have 3 NBA win totals. Jazz over 35.5. Rockets over 47.5. Pistons under 50.5. And I've got a few more circled. I'm going to wait for more shops to open up to kind of price shop here.
Okay. Did you like Zach's, by the way, all of his season wins?
Zach, which did you like the best? Zach has been, there's a little bit of a divide in thinking the Hardwood Handicappers group right now over the Boston Celtics. So I'm not going to disagree with them. The Celtics have proven to be a great franchise that knows what they're doing. I don't think I'm going to be in on the over or the under. He's in on the over. So Celtics over 50.5 for him. Jazz over 34.5 for Zach. Obviously, I love that. The Cavs one, I get, Gil. I just think with a lot of the Eastern Conference teams, you just got to be careful betting overs on because the entire conference is going to be so much better. It just makes that a little bit tougher. I do like the Pacers over 43.5, though. I do think this is a team that ends up in the finals, in that top 6, probably. And Ime Udoka, look, I bet the Rockets over. I think it's a solid coach of the year bet. My only concern with that, right, is what are we comparing last season to? How they did in the playoffs or the regular season, right? The regular season, it was still a good record.
What do the Rockets have to be for him to win coach of the year, right? You have OKC and you have San Antone. It's a regular season award, right?
Technically. I think it's combination, right? I think it's what do the Rockets have to be and what else needs to happen? Right. And I say that because I think it's probably like we're talking about the Rockets as a 2 seed and that you got ahead of the Spurs of the Thunder somehow.
Yeah, I just don't know what's this. Yeah. I mean, if you do that, right, if you can crack the top 2, sure. But short of that, I mean, does a 55 win season get you coach of the year?
I don't know. Yeah, I don't know.
Yeah. Jeff Erickson. Just on with us. Jeff is great, man. He has 1 season win total in football. He's on the Denver Broncos over 9.5 wins. Gave the reasons for that thinking earlier on the show. Of course, he'll be on with Nick Whalen 1 p.m. Eastern, 10 a.m. Pacific today and every Monday through Friday here at VSiN. And then he had 3 season-long prop bets. You kind of chimed in on this. So the way that he is playing the Bengals wave of excitement with Joe Burrow back, Chase Brown over 824.5 rushing yards on the season.
I think I'm going to be joining him on that one, Gil. Yeah, it's just, he's kind of the guy there, the only guy. You know that passing attack is going to take so much of the attention away from the defenses. Jeff did a great job of breaking this down. Even when he got off to a slow start last year, sailed over this number. So I think I will be joining him on that one. And then I'll let you get to the rest, but I think Omarion Hampton's probably a good bet too.
Yeah. Oh, well, let's go to that one. Let's skip to that one. Omarion Hampton, who's coming back from the major knee surgery, over 949.5 rushing yards with the Jim Harbaugh offense. Jim Harbaugh loves establishing the run, even with Justin Herbert. So there you go. That's a bullish play on Hampton. And then this one sort of surprised me, but I understand the reasoning.
Yeah.
He's on the under on Bashel Tootin, under 699 and a half rushing yards. You would think with Travis Etienne that Tootin, he might be more bullish on Tootin, but he said Chris Rodriguez Jr. I should point out Washington football team great.
Yeah.
Chris Rodriguez Jr. He thinks will sort of, I won't use the word vulture because that relates to touchdowns, but we'll skim off some of the yards. Let's put it that
carries.
Way.
Carries, yep.
Yeah. All right. You know what's next. Unscripted with the Cragman, Bill Kragenberger. On the other side, taking all your questions as well, right here at VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.